Okay, so we're holding here in we saw last time the Vayelachish Meislevi and the whole Agarata. Last time we saw that Sheshiva Bapirion and everybody was dancing and they made like Lukuchim Chadoshim. And we saw last time the Maral explains that Moshe Rabbeinu came from somewhere else and therefore it was something which wasn't just a hemshach of what was, but rather it was a chiddush. We spoke about the Matan Torah being the equivalent of Brias Olam. Both of them were new yesh me'ayins, and b'meila they are going to. They needed to have a totally new mahalach, and that's why Vayelach Ish and Beis Levi, without it was anonymous. They were coming from no place. If it would have said who they were and so on, it would have been seen as a hemshech rather than a something new. And that's why that's how the Chazal told us. That is the what we saw last time. I'd like a little bit to speak because it's kind of we're on the heels of Purim, and next week and this time it'll be Purim, Mr. Shem. So I want to speak a little bit about certain things that are similar, certain things that are different, and so on. And the first thing is, if you think about it, you had the same extraordinary difference. I'm sorry, somebody's already gragging with the gragger. I see the Eliyahu. If you can just mute yourself, it would be helpful. Okay, so the but it's very interesting that the geula of Purim is called the geula in the Gemara. I believe it's the only other thing besides the geula asida that is called geula. The Gemara says yesemech geula legula. The reason why we make Purim second Adar instead of the first Adar is to be semech geula legula, geulas nisan to geulas Purim. So Purim is called a geula. You have the same interesting thing that Esther was totally unknown where she came from. Ain Esther Magedes, as far as we're concerned, as far as Achashverosh is concerned, Esther came from no place. So you have a very, very similar knetch that the Goel comes from nowhere. The question is, why is that? Why is it that the Goel would come from no place? What's the point of it? So let's first talk a little bit about that, and then we'll try to understand maybe some differences. The Maral says this in many places, that something that is continuous is one type of entity. Something that is new, you in order to define something as new, you must have a totally a total wiping out of what was before. Almost by definition like that, if you can consider something a hemshich, it's not going to be a chiddush. That's by definition. So all the chazal that speak about chad elef al-machorov, that the world is Chorav one Elef, that's all understood in the same idea of having first a clean slate and then having a hemshech and so on. That's and then having a ischachos is something new. So the idea of having something completely gone and something new is the hallmark of something which is chiddush versus something that's just a continuation. Geula means something new. It came on the heels of nothing, and something was mischadish, and that's what geula is. That is that's the Maral's said in many places. So within the context of Klal Yisrael's history, there were a lot of yeshuas. And Yeshua means simply we were in trouble and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us. And all of Tanakh is that story of things that are things that are problems, tzaras we did wrong, we encountered tzaras, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. That's the whole thread of Tanakh. That all comes to an end at the end of Eis Rishon. And there is no Hemshech, there's Churban. And Churban means everything is gone, including the Nevuah, including everything. Now, Klal Yisrael is in a matzav of being totally encompassed by a different umma with a gzeira, which means in practical terms, they are gone. There is nothing there. That is that's the Metzius of Klal Yisrael. Now, in order to have geula, in order that something be seen as ki'ilu, there's a new spark, something becoming anew, that is going to have to be with no visible connection. Esther is not invisibly connected to anything that was there before. As far as we know, we don't know she's Jewish. She's almost identical to Moshe Rabbeinu growing up in Midian. There's no hemshech whatsoever. So the parallel of the two geulas having a sense of total the wiping clean, wiping the slate clean from what was, and a new hemshech. But there's another nekuda, and I think it's important to understand this nekuda fully. The Amalek is Mikra, and that's where he comes along, and that's where he sort of is ideologically opposed to Klal Yisrael. There are three situations. There are three types of situations that can be described in three ways. One is something still exists. So I'm sitting and eating. I sat down to eat at 2 o'clock and I'm still eating. So I'm eating. The act now is part of the original act. And therefore the word hemshech or mikra, the word mikra certainly does not apply to it. Let's say I stop. And at some point I start eating again. So now I can say, so I could say that I, as a human being, have to eat, and eating is part of what my structure demands, and it is essential or innate to me. Or I could say it's a mikra. I happened to see a piece of food, I grabbed it and ate it, but I could or could not eat, and it's one to say. In other words, things that are a hemshech, that are being mamshech, the word mikra, certainly the test of mikra versus pattern does not apply to it. It's still part of the original. When something stops and then starts again, so now our question is that part of a pattern or did it just happen? In other words, if we were to sharpen the question, every pattern is a pneumistic structure to whatever's chitzonius. Let's say I ate in a certain restaurant. Somebody walks by and sees me eating in a certain restaurant. So you can say one or two things. I was hungry, I walked by and grabbed a bite. It was the closest place or whatever. Or I could say, no, I'm Kaveh Suda. I eat in this place. In both cases, physically, it's the difference doesn't lie really in the physical attribute of it or expression of it. It lies in the dea behind it, in sort of, is it the product of a das, or is it something that just happens on its own, as normally physical things happen. Sometimes you bump into this, sometimes you bump that. One day I'm going to walk down this street, and I have to walk by the restaurant at lunchtime. I'll walk into there. Once I've gone here, I'll walk to there. So the real test of mikra, if verses, we'll call a pattern, is going to be, it's going to be in the A, in things that are etzem disconnected, and B, it's going to be a revelation of some pnimius, not some pitzanius. Let's take an example. A tree is growing, and the tree has various attributes. It has a certain height, a certain color, certain density of fruit, etc. Now, I expect that any branch that keeps growing on this tree is going to be the same. It's going to be the same because it's just a hemshech of what's there. And the word pattern doesn't really fit it. It's not needed for that. It simply is. The tree just got bigger, and this is a tree that the fruit is dense, and that the branches are many, and so on. And someone will ask me, are these properties innate to the tree? Or it just happens, you know, it's sometimes the climate, sometimes it has to do with the rain, sometimes something else. I don't know the answer. But when I take a seed and it grows something that's very similar to this, and then take a seed of that, it grows something very similar, I begin to say, you know, there is something directing this. There is something else directing this, which creates a pattern of having these traits and so on. So a mikra and a pattern are something that that are A, they have nothing to do with the thing itself as much as the das behind it, and they become displayed when you have non-contiguous entities that form some sort of pattern that of similarity. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, for instance, when he was the Goyal of Klal Yisrael, he came from no place. I mean, as far as the Jews know, he was Midianite. He was either you even knew him as the Paro, as the darling of Paro, or you knew him as a guy who ran away to Midian. No one knew him as a Jew. He wasn't part of the people where you would say, you know, it was waiting to happen, and so on and so forth. It just, you know, it came out of nowhere. That's mitzad the chitzoni shabai. He came to Klal Yisrael, and he said, Elokei Avicha Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov. The Rambam in Eretz Avodah Zarah says, you know, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu was goyel us because of the Shvuah, there was Nishba to Avram, to Yitzhak, to Yaakov. He came as a total disjunct from what was, but he came and said, this is part of a pattern where Klal Yisrael seemed to have disappeared, and now it's rising up again because of this pattern and so on. So the real test of Emunah and understanding Yad Hashem in the big, big picture is not when things continue, but when you have when something discontinues, and then you have it come up, reborn again in a whole different form. That was true by Moshe Rabbeinu. That was also true by Esther. Esther was the Seif of Kol HaNisim Shenitnu Likasei. And we spoke last time, it was Torah had been finished, Torah had been sealed, and there was no Torah to be given anymore. And then Torah came up again, and it was something that was once Megillas Esther was written, it was recognized, lemafreya, that this really is part of a part of a different pattern. It says Shileshim and Lo Ribeim. The question was, you know, how many times would Mechias HaMalek be mentioned? And this was another time that it would be mentioned. So you now have a pattern of Mechias HaMalek, which would be mentioned and brought into this world. That is the pattern of that's the pattern of Torah Shabbai. the Rashi says in Shir Hashirim that Lasad Lava Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to regalat us a new Torah, which is going to be the pnimius of Torah. Amkes Sisareon and Tzfuneho. On the one hand, there will be a sense of newness. It's not going to be the hemshech, meaning continuous. It won't be physically continuous, but it will be a new piece that will be a part of a pattern. And when the VM sat and wrote the Nevuah, so you had one Navi after another Navi after another Navi, so each Navi had a new message, but it was part of a hemshech. This was the era of Nevi'im, and Nevi'im would now be getting Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would be writing it, they would giving it out. But when you had now this new, when you now had Megillas Esther, Nevuah had stopped, and Torah had stopped, the Torah had come to an end. And now there was not going to be any more Torah. A new Torah that showed itself to be the Hemshech of the old one, that's exactly the Torah of Megillas Esther. The Torah of Megillas Esther is a revelation of a Yad Hashem when there is no visible Yad Hashem whatsoever. There's nothing there about Hashem pulling any strings. There's nothing there except for a pattern that he put together. Nowhere did Hashem come and say and tell and you know, and do anything or whatsoever. It's being able to detect a certain Yad Hashem when physically does not represent it. That's exactly the opposite. That's exactly what a pattern is. A pattern is something that's physically unconnected, but conceptually we see a pattern. It is one of the things that's remarkable. In the concept of a pattern is a remarkable concept because it's not a physical reality. And that's why computers do have a problem with it. You can keep programming because you can always reduce it to something mechanical. But LaMarshall, whenever you can tell, whenever, let's say, I want to analyze letters a person wrote, tshuvas a person wrote, if there's any pattern. So I can keep telling the computer, look at the lengths of the letters, look at the places he wrote it to, how many times you did this expression, next expression. I can keep making mechanical things, but a real leap of understanding is always das adam. It's that part of a person that sort of something snaps into place and says, hey, he's always writing about these halachas, not about these halachas, or in this town he's writing about these halachas. Yes, as soon as somebody raises that, you can always reprogram the search engine to look for it, but tachlis, that pattern recognition is something that is human, because it requires understanding something conceptual instead of it's so, because it's not physical. But in Amalek's opposition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mikra means that there is no ongoing Hashgacha. There is nothing in the Bria. It's not a question who created the Bria. It's a question in the ongoing Bria. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulling the strings? So if it's Nisim, then it's just a Hemsha. From Yetzias Mitzrayim till the end of the era of Nevi'im, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very, very interventionist. So fine, that's not telling me anything. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to withdraw, the question is, the only way I can know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through a pattern of things. And that's exactly the point at which they came in. That was a crossroads at which, on one hand, Amalek was able to say, okay, that era is over, and therefore now there's no reason to think that anything will happen. But let's give a marshal. Imagine there's a plane crash. We just had a plane crash. Now, one perspective it is, there is X amount of malfunctions in the world, and bimela, a plane malfunction, that's all there is to it. There's no reason why it should happen in the future. What does one plane have to do with another plane? That's one way of looking at it. The second way of looking at it is, no, I see two planes, three planes, see four planes. I'm beginning to see that there is a pattern over here, and I'm beginning to recognize that this design doesn't work well in this Metzius or whatever you want to do. So it required the mace of Purim became the prototype for the new Geula. It's really a smichas Geula in the sense that Nissan was the first Geula, and Purim is the prototype of the future Geula. Futun would speak a lot about that, you know, it's the gateway. Purim is a gateway to the next Geula. It's something which carries in itself a lot of that hallmark. And that specifically is that the Yeshua, as long as it's within what is, that's called a Yeshua. It's not Geula. So we have the you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're in Tzaris, the Chachamim, the Skenim, there's Nevi'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about a Geula through them. That's very nice. But when you're talking about a total, when you're talking about Klal Yisrael being negated totally, and as far as we can discern, it's Yesh Me'ayin at first glance, there's physically nothing left over. But let's go back to the mashal of Klal Yisrael by Ahasuerus. Whenever the Jews have been persecuted, and which is basically always, there always was one country that was terrible and one country was good. Even World War II, our Atzala was the Allied armies who were against the Germans. So between America and England and so on, they were the ones to go against them. The Jews who were not under the Axis, they were the ones who were able to try to exert pressure, save people. Whatever it was, there always was a Pesach somewhere else. So with all of the people killed in the war, there was people left over. There was a Sheiris, a plate of a remnant of the people themselves. But there were, you know, there was the Hitzilu, you know, Vay Machna Achas Leplato. One Machna got wiped out, one Machna in Leplato. But when you had them, and this was possibly the only time in Jewish history when all the Jews were totally surrounded. It was as if Hitler would have conquered the world and he had everybody under his thumb. That's exactly what it was. Ahasuerus was all powerful. Total, and he was totally under Haman's influence. The Gzeira on Klal Yisrael effectively is Klal Yisrael ceasing to exist. The person who saved them was not a Jew on the outside, because there was no outside. It was somebody that didn't seem to be a Jewish person, somebody that was on the outside, and saved Klal Yisrael, and it was in the Zegala that he was to be Pnimius, she was to be Pnimius, was really from inside, same like with Moshe. So every geula is, it's an ultimate geula happens because there's a pneumistic force at work, not a chitzonius. There were no over Jews left over, only a covered Jew was left over. And it's looking on the outside, there was no way a person would scratch his head and say there's no way Christ could be saved. Every single person in Israel has been effectively roped in put in a pen and mocked life. Everybody was in concentration camp. The person who would save them had to be a new Bria, somebody who, quote unquote, didn't look Jewish. Somebody, quote unquote, was on the surface of it not Jewish, both by Moshe and by Esther. It was afterwards that there was a Gilu Lemafreya, that the Pnimiusa, she was Jewish. Moshe was Jewish, and that B'Pnim Yusar Kadosh Baruch Hu was keeping a haftacha that he had made. So on the Chitzonius, the haftacha seems to have been severed, seems to be Tamas Chusavis, Tamas Chus this, it's not happening. You know, But what happened was the Pnimius Kal Yisrael comes up again because the Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishake is on the very, very core, on the very heart of what Kal Yisrael is. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any points, any questions, anything you want to discuss? Okay.
I have a question. It always bothered me, but this even makes it more bothersome, I guess. If it's so hidden, how does Am Yisrael supposed to know the Emes when someone comes, especially when he's outside? It doesn't look Jewish. It doesn't. How are we supposed to follow him?
So the answer is, what does the person demand of you? The Shuvas Rashba says that when Moshe Rabbeinu told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Hein lo yaminu likasan can believe me," it wasn't derogatory. It was a compliment. Kal Yisrael does not easily accept people who come with claims. And that's healthy. That's good. So Esther, they were mishtadel, she should help. That's no problem. Had Esther come along and Esther coming along and saying, I would like you, listen, I'm the great queen. I saved you. You obviously recognize, you know, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agent. Why don't you? I have this little book I'd like to include it in Tanakh. They didn't accept it. It was only when they found that there was a remes fit, and that it was already, you could see the mafreya that it's part of it. That's the only reason they could accept it. So if a person comes along, and he, you know, we need help and he helps, that's fine. If a person comes along and tries to institute things that are alien or strange or whatever to us, certainly against halacha, we don't respond. We respond with a lot of skepticism and suspicion. That's why there was the constant suspicion and skepticism, you know, about any person who came along with a new psura was greeted with great skepticism, with isnagus. It was only lamafreya. We accepted Esther only based on whatever was that was the scholar. But she demanded nothing. She demanded we have a kinnis tefillah. That's okay. That's he's supposed to. That's mehilchis tainis. That's mehilchis thing that a person's supposed to do these things.
So as long as she's not adding, and the mishlach monster, so even all these mitzvahs that she added that year, Mordechai.
That was a takanas chacham. She didn't come along and say that was a takanas chacham to mark because you're supposed to mark nisim leflos. That's a takanas chacham. But I say the part that really was tricky was the adding of part of Torah. The making, listen, you know, it's a halachas brought that on a day that an es happened, you're supposed to make something. You know, making an es, that was the Kanos Chachamim. They made the Kanos later also. They made the Kanos Lachas Neiris. But the fact that this would actually be Nitnali Kosev, Lemafreya, that was the Chiddush here. That it was something that couldn't have been written. And then it was this gala that this is a hemshich of a written Torah. That's exactly the pattern we're talking about.
Is the Rebbe differentiating between the words Geula and Yeshua?
Yes. Correct. Geula, and the Maral makes this point. The Geula denotes something that is, you know, I spoke that sort of thing about the El Sashacha, that it comes after this, the darkest, that's when the morning comes. It definitely, Geula is something that has, you know, almost reappears. A Yeshua is an aid of some sort of help. You know, it's a yesh miyesh type of situation, not a yesh mayim. Okay.
Be'elchem
Purim to everybody.
Welcome. Thank you.